Good morning. Good morning. Am I live? I can't tell. I'm not sure why I have to preach on this Sunday where the church is passing out eggs. I just might have brought some too to toss back. So grace be with you, Hope, this morning. Well, it's nice to see so many people here today, and it's my privilege to talk about missions, especially Alliance missions, as part of this 40 days. I was an Alliance missionary for 15 years, and I was 10 years in Argentina and 4 years in Ecuador, and then, of course, 1 year in Costa Rica, just getting started learning Spanish. And the Christian and Missionary Alliance in this Hope Church is with the Christian and Missionary Alliance, has a powerful missions history, and that is not an understatement. It has a very powerful missions history. And as a young person many years ago, I began, as a kid in Ohio, I attended an Alliance church, and then later in Lakeland met Brian and Vicky and attended their church and got to know very godly missionaries. And as I was putting this together, I was thinking about that. One was Millie, who had spent, I think, if I remember, 38 years as a missionary in Indonesia and Vietnam. Was home back in the States during the Tet Offensive, and so survived that. And her and others that I befriended over the years really presented just a deep, abiding godliness that only years of walking with the Lord and discipleship could provide. And as well as that, I remember the yearly missionary conferences. I really appreciated those, hearing people come in the Alliance from all around the world, telling stories of church planting and really powerful stories. I'm going to share a couple. I just remember one from years before, missionaries that went out in the 50s to Indonesia, and they were talking about taking a can out with the nationals and taking a can out of canned goods, and one had green beans, and they showed him it was green beans. And then one had beets, and they showed him it was beets. And then he took out Gerber's baby food with the baby on it and opened that one. And all those really interesting stories up until the present day. And then there was Paul Bubna, who was the president of the Alliance Seminary, and that's where I ended up going. And there were great readings, A.W. Tozer, A.B. Simpson, Jaffrey, great people writing about missions, and all those things really impacted me and impacted my life. And later there was a Jaffrey missionary series of the Alliance. So to state that the Alliance has a strong history in missions is not an overstatement. Now that history came alive to me years ago now in 1991, and we were having a missions conference, and I received really what I consider a type of missionary call. I was in the back row of the sanctuary, and there was a call to go forward, and I was really fighting that. And God had been working in me, but still, I didn't want to make that commitment. And we were singing the hymn, "Take My Life and Let It Be." Now, the first couple of stanzas, I won't say it all, and I won't sing it, says, "Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee." Now, there are six stanzas to that song, and since it was a missionary conference, we were singing all six of those stanzas, probably more than once, you know, waiting for whoever wanted to go forward. And I remember I finally said, "Okay, God, I'm going to go forward." And I wasn't listening to even the stanza that we were on. But when I walked forward, I realized it was stanza number 5 because I heard these words around me: "Take my will and make it thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is thine own. It shall be thy royal throne." And I sensed the Holy Spirit saying to me, saying, "Brian, I'm calling you to myself. I'm calling you to me. And if I choose for you to go overseas, then I will make that apparent. But this is a call to me before it's a call to anything else. And I ended up going overseas. But really, while this message is a missionary one, the calling I just described is really for each believer. And my trust that is that in some way, God will make clear to you, with a testimony, his calling of you to himself. Now, the CMA began with the vision of A.B. Simpson. And what better than to read our Alliance website, and I'm just going to read a short paragraph of that. In 1873, at age 30, A.B. Simpson left Canada to pastor the Chestnut Street Presbyterian Church in Louisville, Kentucky. And after that, he went to the 13th Street Presbyterian Church in New York City. And he had a deep desire through that to minister to the many immigrants coming into New York City. And because of that, he faced great opposition from the leadership of his church. And he eventually resigned of his prestigious pastorate and set out to establish the Gospel Tabernacle, a church in the heart of the city where all, the poor, the homeless, the sick, the displaced, would be welcome. So the roots of the Alliance are missionary roots, reaching out, you could say, to the least of these, to the poor, to the homeless, to the immigrant. That is our heritage. And Simpson's ministry to New York's immigrants caused him to wonder about the unreached masses all throughout the world. It was then that he developed an insatiable burden for worldwide evangelization of lost souls. And single-mindedly focused on this burden, he began assembling like-minded people with a passion for taking the gospel to the ends of the earth. And he would hold evangelistic meetings on Sunday afternoons outside of regular church times. And those gatherings, which grew to camp meetings and revivals all up and down the East Coast of the United States, developed the Christian Alliance for Deeper Life and the Missionary Alliance for Sending Out. And eventually, the Christian and Missionary Alliance came together. And he also had a physical healing in his own life, miraculous. And so he would go on to coin the foundation of the Alliance doctrine, which is the fourfold gospel, that Christ is Savior, Sanctifier, Healer, and he is, in terms of missions, the coming King. And so that's not original, but it's the combining of those things, which is very powerful and gave a fresh impetus to the Christian experience. And also it's the idea combined with that of the crisis experience. And the crisis experience has different ways of being described. The way I like most is when all that you've trusted in, no matter how good, no matter how healthy, when all of that falls away, and you realize you have Christ himself. And you can reject that, or you can go deeper into the deeper life. And that is the crisis experience. Now, the Great Commission in the New Testament is also often Matthew 28, 18 through 20, verses known to many here. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." And added to that, verses like Acts 1, 8, "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." And for Simpson, and to the Alliance, this next verse was key, Matthew 24, 14. "And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in the whole world as a testimony to all nations, and then the end will come." Simpson had the passion to believe that by making sure the gospel was preached to all the world, that the church could take part in ushering in the return of Christ. So it was not only missiology, getting the word out, It was another term, eschatology, actually playing a part of calling back Christ to this earth. And on the picture of the fourfold gospel, it's the crown that represents this. Now, is that chutzpah? Is it a grinding of theological gears, perhaps? Maybe a theology that at different times and different places led to some poor strategic decisions? Probably so. But show me a life so wrapped up in sharing the gospel and helping God get back to earth, and I will show you A.B. Simpson, whose passion and whose vision began a movement, the Christian and Missionary Alliance, that still continues today, long, long, long after the New York City of 1884 can only be seen in pictures. It's a powerful statement. Show me a life so wrapped up in sharing the gospel and helping God get back to earth, and I will show you A.B. Simpson, whose spirit-infused movement continues long after New York City of 1884 can only be found in pictures. Now, in the missionary life, it has happened at times and maybe still happens today that Western missions can be too cultural, too Western. I battled that. I saw that overseas, maybe a superiority. For the missionary, compound mindset and things like that, all missionaries must learn and relearn humility. And I learned there was a big difference between the halo I was given at missionary conferences and how quickly that halo tarnished as soon as the airplane touched back ground in Argentina. But these people, these brothers and sisters in Christ that have been reached, can also reach us. Because we have, if you're a believer here this morning, you've learned the gospel through your experiences. And people from different parts of the world have also learned the gospel because of their experiences. And those experiences can be rich, and they can teach the North American church. I remember one friend of mine in Argentina who was studying to be a doctor, is now actually in the States doing quite well. He was getting ready to leave. It was not long before, and he was in his latter 20s, and he holds up a shirt, and he says, with pride, "I've had this since I was 15. It's like it wasn't a novelty thing. He'd made it last in an economically deprived small town. I know the story of another family when they picked up an orange and part of it was moldy. And what would I do? I'd just throw it away. But they took off the parts that weren't so they could save that food and have that. Argentina, a good friend of mine there, Argentina in the 70s up to the early 80s had the military junta where they tortured thousands and thousands of their own citizens. It was a horrible time. And one of my friends who was not in the military, but he was a police officer, would tell me stories of that time. Trucks with grandparents and children would arrive in the middle of the night, and he with others would torture them and put them to death until he had a breakdown and in prison found Christ and still has a prison ministry to this day in Argentina. I knew of a Colombian pastor who was in Argentina, Colombian, and years before he had been an assassin in Colombia. And he said once, I remember he said, "Well, some might have deserved it," and I didn't really know how to respond to that, but he had been saved by the gospel and was now working in the shanty towns. I partially, and I can't say I completely, because I had a U.S. passport, which means I had an escape, but I remember in 2001 when Argentina defaulted, economically defaulted, and its economy completely collapsed, and those who could leave the country, the Argentines that could leave the country, many did, but many were stuck, and I remember I would go to supermarkets, not a small market, but supermarkets. And you would go up to the cashier, and no credit, you had to give cash. And then you would wait on the other side for other people to pay so that you could get your change. And so there were two lines. And I remember going to a post office, and there was the Argentine peso, and giving him $2. I wanted to buy a peso 50 stamp, let's say. So I gave him two, and this was a government post office. And he had to go around and find money just to give me 50 cents worth. There was no money at all. And it was a trying experience. There's a lot of beauty in Argentina, but there were no more red lights in the city. They turned yellow just so you could always keep going. Violence was never that far away. Those believers who've experienced those type of things have something to share, and they send out their missionaries, and we have something to learn from them. I remember going to Peru, and I forget the name of this now. This was a great, like a well that would purify water, but it was all natural. You build a cement enclosure, follow the Canadian technology. There was dirt in there, create an ecosystem. The water would go down, and it would purify it up to 99%, just all natural. But what you needed was you needed good hygiene. You couldn't be putting with dirty hands that water in there. And so I was in this community, and not one home, and this was in the interior of Peru, not one home had a bathroom. I remember that. The graveyard was old. Graves were busted open. You saw bones laying around. And I just remember thinking, I don't know if that this is a possibility. And yet these people had some of the greatest joy in their community that I had ever seen. And there was a Peruvian lady who was not with us, but she was on the bus ride out. She was from Lima, and she was saying, I've never seen such giving people. I don't deserve this kindness. I remember thinking, I didn't either. I remember going, this was some years ago, to Cuba, and talking with the Alliance Church leader there. And whenever we talked, if someone came within a few feet, he would just stop. He would stop talking. And we were also told at that time in the hotel rooms, don't say anything important because people were listening. And it was a culture where there was no trust. Down to humorous stories. I talked to a person who was an MK missionary kid in Africa, and he was serving as an adult in Latin America. And I said, how did you come to faith? And he goes, straight-faced, he says, oh, I survived a hippo attack when I was young. I said, what? How do I respond to that one? I survived a hippo attack. And, I mean, what do you say? Well, you know, I saw a 5-foot gator once. But it's probably no other sermon this morning mentioning hippo attacks coming to Christ. See, that's good alliance right there of these stories around the world. And I had one. And I hesitated giving this, but I'm going to do it, my own personal experience, where in the States, if we don't know something, what do we say? We say, I don't know, right? And it's customary as well to shrug your shoulders if you want, and that's very innocent. I don't know. Well, in Argentina, when you shrug the shoulders, now I'm giving you a culturally sensitive gesture here, but Argentina, the way to say I don't know is this. It's just, it's innocent. It's kids, adults, women, old people, I don't know. So it was embarrassing after you'd spent time in that country to come back to the States and have a pastor or a good friend ask you something and say, you know, I don't know, and realize you've just crossed the line and you didn't even know you'd done it until you could see the look in their eyes, like, what are you doing to me? Now, the purpose of these anecdotes, some serious, some humorous, some significant, some dealing with a family, some dealing with a whole culture, some dealing with a whole nation, show us believers in their churches who have had their own experiences in Christ, who have enhanced the kingdom of God in fulfilling a biblical worldview, and that they, in turn, can send out missionaries to other parts of the world, and that richer experience in Christ happens. And through A.B. Simpson, the Alliance has taken its place as a worldwide missionary sending agency, as a group that has something to give, and yet at the same time receive, and how we can continue that by prayer and giving and continuing the vision of the Alliance. Now, in missions, the sermon missions, talking about the history and talking about interesting anecdotes, we need to take one more step. This message that I'm giving presupposes, not just supposes, but it presupposes as a statement of faith that the gospel is the way for humanity to have a relationship with God. That there's one way, and that is the gospel of Christ. And it is God's plan of redemption through the cross that gives us a home in heaven and the possibility of a deeper life, a more abundant life on earth. And that there's one way, and Scripture records that way, as guarded by the church, as protected by the Holy Spirit. And that doesn't always seem democratic, but it doesn't claim to me. It's straightforward. And it is also not, in a way, deceptive. And this is what I mean by that. You may have heard the story of different religious people, and they're blind, and it's a blind in the sense that they don't see the whole truth, but they are groping in safe, hygienic places at an animal. You ever heard that story? Raise your hand if you've ever heard that. Because I was hoping I'd see raised hands when I said, okay, well, I see that hand, thank you. And they're groping at an animal, and they're describing that animal as best as they can, as they seek. And one's on one side, and one's on the other side, and one's in the front, and one's near the back. And they're describing truth. So they're describing truth. Anyone know, who's heard that story, know what that animal usually is? It's an elephant. Who's actually heard that story before? Okay, well, it's the idea. I mean, it's usually an elephant. It's certainly not a hippo. I have proof of that, all right? But it's the idea that religious people, seekers of truth, although they're blind, are, I don't know if I said groping, but touching the animal, and they're describing religious truth. And really, they're all seeking the same animal. And it's an elephant. And they just don't know that. And because of that, we need to be sensitive to religious experiences. We need to be open to all religious experiences. And we need to be tolerant of all religious experiences. And some say the gospel is not that. But you know the problem with that story? How does the person telling it know it's an elephant? How come they know something that no one else knows? It's really deceptive. It's not true. It's incongruent at best. But the gospel holds itself in truth, and we hold ourselves to Scripture. And churches around the world provide the gospel in their communities, and some send out missionaries to other lands. And I'll conclude with this, Acts chapter 8. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Go south to the road, the desert road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." So he started out, and on his way he met an Ethiopian eunuch, an important official in charge of all the treasury of Candace, which means Queen of the Ethiopians. And this man had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and on his way home was sitting in his chariot reading the book of Isaiah the prophet. And the Spirit told Philip, "Go to that chariot and stay near it." Then Philip ran up to the chariot and heard the man reading Isaiah the prophet. "Do you understand what you're reading?" Philip asked. "How can I?" he said, "unless someone explains it to me." So he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. And this is the passage of Scripture the eunuch was reading. "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, as a lamb before its shear is silent. So he did not open his mouth. In his humiliation, he was deprived of justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, please, who is the prophet talking about? Himself or someone else?" Then Philip began that very passage of Scripture and told him the good news of Jesus. And missionaries like Philip are sent to those who need the gospel but have no meaningful way of hearing it in their culture, their language. And the hope is that the church will develop, and someday soon, that church will send its own missionaries and do the same. I had worked with a a couple when I was in Argentina, a couple in Uruguay, who Randy and Alicia Clark, and they were there in Uruguay, and they actually went back to South Florida where they've been pastoring. And now, some years later, they're going back to Uruguay. And Uruguay is considered the most secular nation in Latin America. And Montevideo is a beautiful city. I think if I had complete free will and a banker's retirement, I'd probably go to Montevideo. It's beautiful. But there are hundreds of thousands there that don't yet have a gospel voice. And mostly the upper classes don't really have a church. And there are those in there who are saying, how can I know what this means unless someone explains? And it's just very naturally, very generally, an outsider who can have the voice and it can explain that. And that's what the Alliance is doing there. And they're taking their part to reach the unreached. Now, they can't get there at the moment because of COVID. And so they are actually in Ciudad del Este, which is a town on the border of Brazil, Argentina, and Paraguay. And the U.S. Alliance, the Canadian Alliance, and the Alliance from Chile have started a work there, because it's a high Muslim area, to send approved missionaries to that area to help them get the rudiments of the language, Arabic, to help them learn live as a community, as I understand it, and also to understand more about Islam with the plan of going to the Middle East. And so the Alliance is doing both in Latin America and in different places around the world. It's reaching those who are unreached, and it's also joining with Alliance workers and others who are sending out their own missionary work around the world. Show me a life so wrapped up in sharing the gospel and helping God get back to earth, and I will show you A.B. Simpson and his movement, a spirit-infused movement continuing long after the New York of 1884 can only be found in pictures. Let's pray. Lord, I pray this morning that you will deeply, by the power of your Holy Spirit, first call us to yourself and let us know that and give us a testimony of that, of your speaking in our lives. And then the callings you have for us to share the gospel here or overseas, as you may be calling some to do that, that you'll make that apparent as well. Continue to guide our church, helping us to be a spirit-infused movement for what you have for this community and beyond. In Jesus' name, amen.